Welcome to Women of Grace. It's good to be with you today for our live simulcast via television and radio. I'll be giving you the number to use to call us with your questions and comments, and also the way you can join us on social media. We always appreciate hearing from you. With us today from Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, is our guest, Al Cresta, a Catholic broadcaster, journalist, and author. He is president and CEO of Ave Maria Radio and host of Cresta in the Afternoon, heard worldwide via EWTN Radio. Today, he will discuss COVID-19, the pandemic it's created, and the difficult challenges it presents. Stay with us as we discuss crisis, the church, and the common good.
We are women of grace around the throne of the Lord Most High. And we lift up our praise from the depths of our souls here at home.
The pandemic caused by COVID-19 has called many to self-isolate, shelter in place, and be quarantined. The impact of this coronavirus extends to a host of other realities as well, some philosophical, some theological, some practical, and some political. All of them attest to the fact that this is not business as usual, and a return to what once was may not be possible. Here to discuss these realities with us is our guest, Al Cresta, president and CEO of Ave Maria Radio and host of Cresta in the Afternoon. You can hear him daily via EWTN Radio. Let's welcome Al Cresta. Al, welcome to Women of Grace. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, Jeanette, thank you so much. I was honored that you called. I'm looking forward to the conversation with you.
Well, me too. And, you know, there's so much that's going on. Sometimes it really does put our heads spinning. And we wonder if we're ever going to hit that common ground again that we once knew. But it does call us into a sense of accountability as we face this current situation. And, you know, just this morning I was listening to the news, and we continue to refer to this as a war. And in a certain way, it is a type of war, and we're approaching it as a nation and as a people of God, as a combat that we're all engaged in at this moment. What's your perspective on that?
It's a very good point. In fact, yesterday I spent time with our friend, mutual friend Peter Herbeck, to talk about what is God doing in this situation. And you know, throughout the history of the people of God, we've always tried to understand our circumstances in light of God's actions. What's he going about? What's he trying to accomplish here? And we don't necessarily have authoritative prophets who can give us that perspective today, but the people of God participate in Jesus's, his prophet stature, his kingly stature, and his priestly stature. So we think about it. We try to interpret it. You just raised one of the most important points that Peter and I were getting at yesterday, and that is, we should see this sacramentally. We should see this as a very unusual relationship between the natural and the supernatural. So we have, for instance, an invisible enemy right now, an invisible enemy that's prowling the world, seeking whom it may devour, mm-hmm. right? That has a very biological dimension to that, and it has a very supernatural dimension to it. This is not utterly unlike what we've had to deal with throughout our entire history as the people of God. We've had an invisible opponent that wants our own destruction and our death. We've also learned over time that what we have to do is separate ourselves from that opponent who is always tempting us towards sin. And so what we do now with this infection, we think of it in terms of the relationship between ourselves, the devil and sin. We want to separate ourselves from that which would destroy us. Sin destroys us. Coronavirus destroys us. We need to practice separation, a proper separation. At the same time, though, we also have resort to the sacraments. And let's take baptism, for instance. We have grace in baptism. And what we're doing every time we wash our hands is reminding ourselves of regeneration, the purifying power that the Holy Spirit has brought into our lives. And some of us have made it a discipline of washing our hands for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and an easy way to do that, rather than counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just do a Hail Mary or something, have some sort of devotional exercise. So I think we have to look at this physical world as emblematic of the supernatural realities that God has already taught us about in scriptures and through the teaching of the church. So yeah, we've got an invisible enemy. How do we avoid the enemy? How do we separate ourselves? And how can we do this together? Because there's power in our solidarity as members of the body of Christ. And I would hope that this call to fight a common enemy would help us all kind of overcome our own partisan prejudices so that we can have a sense of solidarity. Without that solidarity, we run the risk of becoming isolated. Mm-hmm. And all the social, I hate that phrase, social distancing. I mean, that's exactly what we did. From a spiritual perspective, that's what we don't want.
Yes.
We want to distance ourselves from sin, not from one another. But of course, right now, a lot of us are practicing self-quarantine.
Well, and I have to say, if I can interject here, you know, the fact of the matter is that this is exactly what the enemy wants to do. He always wants to divide, and he always wants to conquer.
Yep.
And I'm so reminded, especially at this moment, of the letter that Cardinal Cafara received from Sister Lucia when he was made the head of the Pontifical Council for the Family, and she said that our Blessed Lady confided to her that the final battle would be against marriage and the family. In a certain sense, God has brought us together so that we can rebuild family life, something that we've greatly lost sense of in our culture today. But in another way, we know that there's also a certain division that's taking place with the family and the rest of the world. So I do see, both at play here. And I love the perspective that you're offering us to look at this both with spiritual eyes and through our natural eyes as well, through that spiritual sense that we have, but also through the intellectual and common sense approach by which we live our everyday lives. That's outrageously important. But you're calling us to do something else too, Al, and this excites me. You're calling us to have an eschatological perspective. You're calling us to look at this in terms of that final movement of mankind towards our ultimate destiny and the second coming of Jesus. We don't know when he's coming again. There's always a tendency to overlay these situations with too much of a perspective that way. But there is a reality and a truth that abides with us in these moments that we have to pay attention to and respond to.
Yeah. You know, this is often the forgotten dimension of church life in America, this eschatological dimension. People are afraid of talking about the return of Jesus because they know how it's been abused by so many people who have set dates. I can remember back in 1987, it's when I first began doing talk radio, and that was the year that a little pamphlet was circulating. I wasn't a Catholic at the time, so it was very big among evangelical and fundamentalist Protestants, but the pamphlet was called 88 Reasons the Rapture Will Occur in 1988. So, I mean, I actually got the guy who wrote the pamphlet, and I interviewed him, and I said, so what you're going to tell me is that after 1988, and we're still here, you were wrong, right? He said, yeah, call me back. So I had him back, and he did admit he was wrong, and that he was now going to spend his time watching he was going to watch national football on Monday night and drink beer. So anyways, I wouldn't really.
Well, there's a solution for you.
right. But people are afraid of talking about that eschatological dimension. Jesus is returning. I've learned just the other day that St. Patrick was something of an end times preacher. I hadn't realized that. But he had a very clear perspective on the coming of Jesus. And, of course, he was preaching at a time where the Roman Empire was collapsing. And oftentimes throughout human history, when there's a strong sense of Jesus' action, revival follows. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what to make of that, because, of course, Christ did not come back for his final return at the time of St. Patrick.
No.
Right?
Nor at the time of St. Paul, who thought it was right around the corner.
That is right. Yes, that's right. But there is some interesting relationship between having that lively sense that Jesus could return and people's openness to repenting and being moved by the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. to seek God that they might live. So I don't think we should, you know, I think we should have good sense about these things. But let's be honest, we believe Jesus is returning. It's in the creed. We recite it every week at Mass. And we shouldn't neglect that aspect of our worldview.
Mm-hmm. And two aspects of that. I mean, one, the temptation is to become a prognosticator like the gentleman that you mentioned. But
right.
Scripture also yeah. tells us that no man knows the day nor the hour, that is set for God's knowledge only. So it's foolhardy to make such things. But when we're yeah. in moments like this, you know, I really think from a heavenly perspective, God offers us these opportunities, and he offers us these opportunities to take note, to let us,
yes.
to remind us, if you will, that no man does know the day nor the time. He could come very soon. And unfortunately, in a reality like we're living through, for many, that time is going to be very soon. We know that yeah. that the fatality rate for coronavirus is real, right? And so this is a time for us to look at the greater realities. And you mentioned St. Patrick, and I love St. Patrick, and we know his breastplate prayer, but what we don't realize is that it's a lengthy prayer. And in the midst of that, he talks a great deal about combat, you know, coming up against these powers and these
yes.
principalities, these rulers of this present darkness. And we cannot forget that those evil beings are laying in wait for us to become vulnerable, to give into temptation
right.
during this time, to give into those familiar sins that we commit, to become desolate in heart and mind and spirit, nearing us to despair. He wants to take advantage of us. And when we're vulnerable, we can become a sitting duck for him. So you're called to remember our baptismal promises, our vows. The call to, you know, really dip into and ask God to renew within us our confirmation graces. To get to reconciliation, many churches, though we can't receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, are offering confession. Go to the sacrament. These are ways in yeah. which we can buttress, you know, our fortress against this diabolical reality that also exists side by side in this moment.
It, very true. And you put your finger on something which I think is, for me personally, and I think Peter would say the same, this is one of those moments when we realize how vulnerable we really are.
Yes.
You know, it's easy to think that our life is in our hands, especially if we're kind of ambitious, driven people who like achievement. We should always remember, though, James chapter 4, where he says, look, none of you know. You run around saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sell this tomorrow. I'm going into town to conduct this business. But you don't even know what tomorrow holds.
That's right.
And we are but a mist that is passing. And I think this threat of coronavirus is forcing us all to realize we didn't create ourselves.
Right.
We don't sustain ourselves. We can't say no to God when the hour of our death approaches. We are really very much not our own creation.
Mm-hmm.
And this threat of the coronavirus brings us to our knees in this respect.
That's right.
And to remember, we are but a mist, and we have to recapture that sense of being a creature and learn that docility before God and try to understand that all our efforts here on the earth are ultimately to be directed towards conformity to Christ.
That's right.
This is our life project. We have all these people going on as life coaches right now, telling us, you know, how we're supposed to stay motivated and achieve this, that, and the other thing. Whatever you conceive and believe, you can achieve. You know, that kind of the power of attraction, the law of attraction, and all this. Look, the life project we all have is to become conformed to Jesus.
That's right. And to keep our eyes focused on Him, Al, in all things.
That's
and
right.
There is where we find our strength. There is where we find our hope. We're going to go to a break. We're going to be right back with you, friends. I'm going to be giving you the number that you can use to call Al and I. We want to take your questions. We want to take your comments. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is available to you. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature to put your question or comment in there. Coming right back with you, our guest today, Al Cresta. Stay tuned. Did you know that St. Jerome said that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ? We want for your children to learn all about the truths of the faith as revealed to us by sacred Scripture. And I know you do too. It's for that reason we offer you the Simon Peter School Scripture Study, developed just for children. It will take your children through the A to Z memory verses, the Gospel of Luke, Acts of the Apostles, and the Book of Exodus, all available for you through Women of Grace. See why Ralph Martin, Kimberly Hahn, and Jeff Cavins have all said this scripture study is perfect for children and a real source for helping them enter into the mysteries of the faith. Visit our online store at womenofgrace.com. Again, that's the Simon Peter School Scripture Study for your children, complete with teacher's guides at womenofgrace.com.
On the anniversary of Mother Angelica's death, join EWTN and the Franciscan Friars of the Eternal Word as we honor our foundress for her life and service and ask the Blessed Mother for her prayers. From Our Lady of the Angels Chapel, the Holy Rosary on the anniversary of Mother Angelica's passing, Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN.
Welcome back, friends. We are here with our guest, Al Cresta, today. We're talking about very important matters as they pertain to the coronavirus, to the church, this present crisis, as well as the common good. And we look forward to hearing from you. We want to give you ways in which you can join us here. We are going to be taking your phone calls and your questions that come with them as we go to the bottom of the hour. Let me give you that number. It's 800-221-9460. So this is a heads up for those of you listening to us on radio. Our number is a little different today. It is 1-800-221-9460. If you are outside of North America, it's 205-271-2980. Once again, if you're in North America, 1-800-221-9460. Outside, it is 205-271-2980. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, we invite you to use the chat feature to get your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, or words of encouragement up on the board for us, and we will get to those as well. You know, Al, when we went to the break, we had the opportunity to be talking about looking at this through the eyes of faith, also aware of the fact that we are moving ever closer to an eschatological moment, corporately as the people of God, but certainly individually in our own lives. We don't know when Jesus is going to come again. And that brings us to another area that I wanted to talk with you about. You know, we hear a lot about the common good. As a matter of fact, we finally have resolution on the bill that is going to be of such great value and aid to so many people. It came with some struggle. And there is a different notion about common good from a Catholic perspective as opposed to a purely secular perspective. Can you share with us a little difference between the two understandings?
Yes. there are a few different ways of going at this. One of them is to take the kind of Enlightenment perspective, that intellectual movement of the 18th and early 19th century, which valued reason above revelation, and which also emphasized the whole, what we call a culture of rights, individual liberties. Now, our nation was born during that period of time. Our nation had a sufficiently Christian foundation, though, where it never went off into being a radical individualism. But since that time, there's a lot of popular works of American culture and commerce which emphasizes a purely out for yourself kind of approach to life. That the ideal person is as disconnected from others as possible, so that they can be as free as possible. They can then pursue what they most desire. It may be wealth, it may be pleasure, it may be intellectual pleasures, it may be sensual pleasures, it may be various types of commerce. But the ideal is the individual alone, autonomous, able to make his or her own law. This flies in the face of a biblical understanding of the person. It flies in the face of a Catholic anthropology, a Catholic understanding of the person. We know that we are social creatures. We were made for one another. Even before the fall, it was said about Adam, it's not good that man should be alone. And that's before the fall. We are made for one another, just like we are made for God. We're made in his image. He's a trinity. He's a society of persons. He's not just a radical, solitary individual like Muslims have with Allah. The God of Christianity is triune. Again, a society of persons. There's love and communication that exists between the members of the Trinity. And we're made in the image and likeness of that triune God. That means by our very nature, we're made to love, we're made to communicate, we're made to share. And what happens in moments of stress like this? People begin to feel that survival is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And they usually mean individual survival. Those of us who are embedded in families, of course, are sometimes thinking, of course, of our family survival. But ask yourself, what's going through the mind of those people who have left me unable to buy toilet paper? Mm-hmm. What are they thinking about? They're not thinking of the common good. Certainly, you want to buy an extra week or two of toilet paper? Fine, do that. But don't hoard it. And right now, we're learning that among many Americans, there is no sense of the common good here. It's a sense of, I'm out to protect myself or my family. We're not in this together as a people, as a nation. One of the roles of the church, of the body of Christ, is to demonstrate a different way of life to the unbelieving world. So among Christians, we ought to be now actively trying to figure out how do we give alms during this period of time. We're in Lent. It's especially important for us to remember almsgiving. I was reading Pope Leo the Great the other day in the Office of Readings. It came up a short sermon that he did on charity. And in that, he talks about the giving of alms in times of stress and distress reduces anxiety and gives us an outburst of joy. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of giving of alms is a recognition that we're social creatures. We're bound together by natural ties. And of course, Christians know we're bound together by supernatural ties, the supernatural act of baptism. And of course, what do we call the Eucharist? We call it Holy Communion.
Yes.
We are in this together. So the common good, I think the Catholic Church has the most sophisticated understanding of the common good of any Christian tradition out there. And while I'm not a political philosopher, I know that there's been a lot of great work done on this area, thinking of the common good. Oftentimes, within various types of Protestantism, you end up with a radical individualism, mm-hmm. with very little sense of the mystical body of Christ.
Yeah.
But our experience with the mystical body of Christ is meant to teach the world what we're really made for.
Yes.
We're made for God. And we're made for one another.
Let me give you that number again, friends, that you can use to join us here with your questions and comments. It is 1-800-221-9460. Toll free for you here in North America. Again, it's 800-221-9460. If you're outside of North America, your number, 205-271-2980. That's 205-271-2980. We can also receive your questions via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and we invite you to use the chat feature there to get your questions to us. You know, what you're saying, Al, is so very important, and we talk about, you know, corrective measures, you know, and, you know, we were hearing prior to all of this that the stock market, for example, would be
right.
soon experiencing a corrective moment, you know, when it, something has worked in a certain direction for so long, and it needs to be recalibrated. Well, in this moment, I think it offers us an opportunity, if we desire to look at this through those eyes of faith, to recalibrate, where am I with regard to this idea of common good? Have I fallen into that category of individual who is very self-focused at this time, worried
right.
only about me and my family, or am I looking outward and saying, what can I do to be of assistance to others, even though I have to self-isolate? In what ways can I be of service? How can I step forward in this moment? We need to recorrect, not only as a Catholic people, but the entire culture needs a recorrect, and our job is to be that beacon of light that shows the way to that.
Yeah, very true. And I know a lot of people are saying, you know, with this whole self-quarantining business, the social distancing, what can I do to really serve others? And again, I realize we have to be a little more creative under these circumstances. A woman told me the other day that one of the things that she's doing is she's going through her church directory, and she's taking a look at the older members of the parish, and she's calling them up, and she's saying, how are you? How you doing during this time? You know, some of them have family, and they're doing fine. Others of them are isolated and lonely, and so she's bringing well, what we're supposed to bring one another, Jesus. We're supposed to be being the body of Christ, his fingers, his hands, his feet, right?
We're and his supposed voice, to be, as you're saying, his voice.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one thing that she's doing, which I think is very helpful. I think in families right now, we have a chance to recover a sense of the domestic church.
Yes.
Some of us are going to remember and, you know, a lot of families don't pray together. I mean, they may pray on occasion.
Yes.
And I know this because my family goes through this problem as well. You get busy. You're raising people. You have different times. Even meal times are difficult to maintain consistency. But now we may have, some of us anyways, may have the opportunity to reintroduce into our daily ritual of life a rosary.
Yes.
A Bible study.
And
at
we're going to have
some recognition.
And what you're saying is so absolutely important. And we're going to continue with that theme as we come back. Friends, we're going to be leaving you on television. We're going to be with you via radio. Those of you watching will see that radio portion tomorrow in this time slot on Women of Grace. You can call us at 800-221-9460. 800-221-9460. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available for you. Welcome back, friends. We're visiting with our guest today, Al Cresta. He is the president and CEO of Ave Maria Radio, located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. In addition to that, he is the host of Cresta in the Afternoon, heard worldwide right here on EWTN Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you and taking your calls and taking your questions today. We've got a phone call that's coming along right now for us, and we're going to take that as soon as I've got the information. But you know, Al, as we closed out the televised portion of our program, program today. You were sharing with us about the realities of living this corporate life together, even in these isolated moments, and the importance that it plays to make that Catholic witness in the world today. Share with us a little bit more. You gave us some good insight on how we can do that. It's difficult for a lot of people today who do feel isolated.
Well, it is a problem. This is a unique moment. We've never seen anything like this before.
No.
Where we've had the closest thing we've had to this is moments when I was in grammar school and we were worried about the atom bomb, right? And we had all those drills, and my sister and I told my father that he ought to build a bomb shelter in our basement, you know?
I remember that time, too.
I remember reading a book called Alas, Babylon, which was about the nuclear war. And we have to remember that throughout human history, human beings have always lived on the edge of death, destruction, mortality, famine, plague, disease, conquest, warfare. We've grown accustomed to living an incredibly, by world standards, by historical standards, an incredibly wealthy, free life here in the United States. And in some ways, it's abnormal. What the coronavirus does for us is it forces us to go back and rethink. This is the way most human beings have lived throughout human history.
That's right.
With the threat of illness and short life. And so that itself should give us some kind of spur to want to, in whatever way, reach out to others. I mentioned the one woman who is going through her church directory and calling members of the parish who she thinks may be in some way isolated because of the social quarantining. We can still do that. We can send gifts. Mm-hmm. I realize we may not want to be knocking on doors and dropping gifts off, but actually we can still provide gifts. Sending packages is still relatively safe,
yes,
from what we hear. And so I have some friends, for instance, who are not in full union with the church, but who are contemplating it. And I've got care packages that I put together for them that I'm sending, so that during this time they'll have a chance to get over. They're trying to work through certain doctrinal issues,
right,
that are keeping them from coming into full communion. So I put together two little packages, one to go to one couple, one to the other.
A beautiful way to reach out and evangelize during this time, and reminding us that we still have a mission to play, still have a part to play. We're all called to be evangelists at this moment, and here's a time when technology is truly our friend. We've got all means of social communication. We at Women of Grace have many study groups that we're in the midst of coming together. The ladies are continuing this through outreaches, through social media like Zoom. And Google Hangout and these other opportunities. And, there's a lot to do, but people are bored. And we have Bob in Massachusetts with us, and he's not feeling like he's got very much to do. So let's talk with Bob. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
How are you? I want to tell you before we start, I enjoy your program.
Well, thank you. Well, we always tease Bob that real men watch and listen to Women of Grace. So you're a real man.
Yeah.
That's good.
Like I said, I'm getting very bored. I'm in for 2 weeks, and I can't really go anywhere because everything is shut down. And I'm not allowed to leave my apartment because I'm 74 now. And so I would say I'm like an elderly person.
Yeah.
So that's my question.
Well, it's a good question. And Al, do you have any suggestions for Bob?
Well, Bob, I thought what Jeanette said earlier, that you can participate through social media, through things, applications like Zoom, and by online study, you can actually be part of a group. Even while you're isolated from home, that's the first thing that would come to mind. I've noticed there are lots of apostolates that are using this moment to make their teaching accessible. Some people who have charged for it in the past are now making it available at no charge. And so, I mean, that's where I would start. And if I understood your question correctly, that's one thing that I think Jeanette has said very clearly what you can do.
And this is a time, I think, also, Al, to reach deeper into our life of prayer. It's a time for study. You know, for the majority of Americans, there is not a time that opens up. Even vacation time can be a very, very busy time.
Absolutely.
We don't have this time of repose, if you will, where we can move into some of the reading that we want to get done, you know, an increase in our knowledge of the faith, using this time maybe to write letters, a lost art today, to send off to people. And may I say, a time of great reconciliation. So, Bob, you acknowledge the fact that you're in a certain category of age, and no man knows the day nor the time that Jesus is going to come for them individually. So, you know, if there's people that need to be, you know, where you need to reach out and reconcile through any means that you can, it's a great time to do that. Let me give you the number again, friends, 800-221-9460. That's 800-221-9460. Toll free for you right here in North America. If you're outside of North America, your number, 205-271-2980. That's 205-271-2980. Well, you know, Al, I want to let our listeners and our viewers know that you are a gentleman who came in to the Catholic faith. You were not always Catholic. And so this moment of opportunity for evangelization is a very important one.
Well, it is. It is. And I do think that there are always people who were made for God. And I just always want to come back to that. Because a lot of people are afraid to share their faith as though somehow it's a weird imposition on others, as though it's unnatural to share one's faith. Look, people are made for God. I've been, since I encountered Christ back in when I was in college, 1974, I've talked to I don't know how many people, not only on radio or in books, but just one-on-one. It's what I do. And on a very few occasions have I been met with hostility. People, you have to trust that the Holy Spirit is going ahead of you and preparing people for what you have to say. It doesn't mean that people are going to, as soon as you open your mouth, they're going to fall on their knees, you know, and say, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this all my life. No, you're usually part of a chain of events in that person's life. God's telling a story, and they're on the inside of it. You don't know the story they're living, but you enter their story and you share good news that God loves them, that He wants them to come in union with them, but in fact there's a barrier, and that barrier can be overcome by only one person, and that is the person of Christ, who is God, who approaches us from one end of the barrier, and He's man, who approaches from the other end, and He forms the bridge over that barrier. So I do think we can always do that, and we should always expect, if this is done respectfully, if this is done with clear concern for the person we're talking with, we should expect that the person will appreciate it. They'll know that you're acting in, as you understand, their best interest. And I do think this is a great time to do it because people are afraid right now.
Yes.
There's a whole spirit of fear that's resting upon the American people. And this is where we, as the people of God, need to be reaching deep for those internal resources. Remember, Christ dwells within us.
Yeah.
The whole Trinity dwells within us. And we need those resources and share them with those who are outside the faith.
We have Barbara with us, Al. She's calling us from Pennsylvania. Good morning to you, Barbara. How are you?
Good morning, Jeanette. I called you yesterday, but I didn't get on to ask my question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we're happy to have you today.
Well, I give out miraculous medals.
Yes.
And a Blessed Mother talked to Catherine Laboure.
Yes.
One night, and she told her to make a medal. And if you wear the medal with devotion, Blessed Mother said, God will give you many favors. So I was wondering if this would be a good idea to keep the miraculous medal close to you in this time and ask for favors from God to keep the virus away.
Well, you know, Barbara, let me just say very quickly that it's always a good idea to have the miraculous medal on. You know, we want to do that. It's a sign and a symbol of our hope and our trust in God. And so I would encourage that. But Al, it leads me to a question for you that recognizes the fact that God is always with us. And even these beautiful devotional practices that we put into our lives is a remembrance of that. And as you're talking about, the story, the catena of God's action, perhaps, the chain of God's action in a person's life. We know that God's with us in this moment, and we've got about a minute left for you to share with us that this is a time for us to dig into that virtue of hope.
Yes.
God is with us.
That's right.
We have to trust
He is with
God.
Us.
Yes, yes, we do. So share with us a little bit, Al, about hope.
This is a time for us to go deeper. When people think of Moses speaking to Pharaoh, they think of him saying, "Let my people go." But that isn't what he said. 8 or 9 times he says, "Let my people go that they might worship me." And the book of Exodus starts in slavery. It ends not merely in liberation. It ends in worship. And this is a time for us to remember that we've been given this gift of freedom right now. Some of us aren't working as many hours. We're given this new freedom, not just to indulge or to pursue our distractions. We're given this time to learn how best to order our lives in light of eternity. And that's why these things come upon us, that we might remember God. And judgment falls upon a nation when they forget God.
That's right.
So this is a time to we can take this idea of freedom that we've been given in Christ, not to distract ourselves with various new forms of entertainment, but an opportunity to ask, how do I order my steps aright, given these new circumstances? How do I worship better? How do I declare the worth of God better than I've ever done before? How am I in Christ in a world that's in peril?
And that's a good question for us to be asking, friends, as we go to the break. When we come back, more with our guest today, Al Cresta. Looking forward to hearing from you. Let me give you the number again. It is different from our radio number. Typically, it is 800-221-9460. That's 800-221-9460. That is toll-free for you right here in North America. If you're outside of North America, we have a number for you, too, 205-271-2980. That's 205-271-2980. Use our social media opportunity as well. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available for you. Get out there, use that chat feature. Coming right back, Al Cresta is in the house. More discussion coming right up. Stay tuned. Hi friends, Jonet Williams here. Would you like some good news in your inbox? Sign up for our daily Grace Lines to receive a daily reflection that includes a quote from Sacred Scripture or your favorite saint, a beautiful image, and a question for pondering. In less than 5 minutes per day, it is sure to inspire you to live deeply your Catholic faith. Sign up today at womenofgrace.com/sign-up or text Women of Grace in all caps to 22828.
Dear family, let us pray together Mother Angelica's prayer for the United States. Lord God, I ask in all humility that you bless this country as unworthy as we are. Protect it from every evil. Protect it from the enemy. Protect it, Lord, that it may accomplish thy will and keep thy commandments. I ask, Lord, with a pleading heart, to look down upon us in our unworthiness. Give this country a renewal of devotion to you, to your law, and to your commandments, Lord. Let us be once more a country under you, Lord. May we once more say, in God we trust. Guide us, and protect this country from every evil and every harm. Amen.
Welcome back, friends. We are visiting with our guest today, Al Cresta. He is the CEO and president of Ave Maria Radio, located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. In addition to that, he is heard worldwide right here on EWTN Radio every weekday afternoon. We invite you to tune in and to listen to him. We also invite you to give us a call here. We are available for you. And Kathy in Canada has accepted our call. Let's go, or our invitation, rather. Let's go to Kathy. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Good morning, Johnette. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for asking.
Good, good. Thank you. I just want you to know that I enjoy your show so much, and I listen to it every day.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to let you know, it's more of a comment, that a couple of weeks ago you were speaking on the program about blessed salt.
Yes.
And sprinkling it around the perimeter of your home.
Yes.
And so I went and I got 3 jars of salt, and I took them to our local priest.
Yes.
And asked him to bless them, and I've been sharing them with friends and parishioners, and they were so touched, and some of them had never even heard of that before. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I just wanted to say that I really appreciate it, and you really make me think about my faith, and I feel in the last couple of weeks that I've really come closer to the Lord, and honestly, listening to you and listening to Mother Angelica and the other programs on EWTN, and it's just brought so much to my life, and I just wanted you to know that.
Oh, well, Kathy, thank you so very much, and I'll share with everybody again what I shared last week, and it's the efficacy of using the sacramentals. And so holy water and blessed salt are tremendous instruments that we have that we can take advantage of anytime. And I often suggest to women, Al, that, you know, yes, we clean our homes, gentlemen, we clean our homes, but let's clean them spiritually as well and go through the house with blessed salt and holy water. This guards the perimeter. It takes care of a multitude of small little, demons, if you will, to clean our house out that way. And I know in two very, very specific situations, we guarded the perimeter of our home with blessed salt. We used the holy water around the perimeter of our home. Mm. And there were hurricanes that were averted that way. And I want to share with you, I mean, I've had personal experience in locations where hurricanes were not, but using the premises that I was in as a type of depiction, if you will, of that area that was being assaulted by inclement weather, and went through with blessed salt and holy water, and we saw these things dissipate. I'm sure it wasn't just our efforts, but it was efforts of everybody praying. Sure. But I wouldn't have wanted to eliminate that action. So it is a very very powerful means of protecting our homes, protecting our families. Our first caller, Barbara, mentioned the miraculous metal. Our second caller, rather, mentioned the miraculous metal. You know, pin the miraculous metal, you know, onto the mattresses of your children's beds, you know. Do these kinds of things. These are not talismans, you know, and it's not the metal. It's the blessing that's on the metal. It's not the salt. It's the blessing on the salt. So share with us a little bit about the use of sacramentals, if you will, Al.
Well, I think that's a wonderful practice. What is beautiful about the Catholic faith is that it understands who we are as human beings created in the image and likeness of God. And the Catholic Church is a very material religion compared to a lot of other forms of Christianity. We really do take seriously all five senses.
Mm-hmm.
And we acknowledge that, I mean, even the Eucharist, for instance, we receive under the aspect of bread and wine, we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. I mean, somebody might say, well, what do you need the bread and the wine for? Why not just sit there and think about it? Well, because first of all, isn't what Jesus did when he gave us the Eucharist, but it's because we're material creatures. We need the crystallization of these spiritual truths
That's right.
in some material way. And sacramentals they were neglected for almost a whole generation, at least in American Catholicism. And we were the poorer for it. So I'm glad to hear that these are becoming more. It is important, as you say, not to fall into superstition or treat them like talismans, but to always remember that they piggyback on those sacramentals are spiritual truths and realities that are accessible to us by our use of these sacramentals. So we can talk about, the power of the Holy Spirit in protecting. We can remember when we're using salt as a sacramental of protection, for instance, we can remember the armies of the Lord that have been called at various times in our history to guard the people of God. Not visible necessarily to the eyes of everybody, but those who are trusting in God.
That's right.
They are aware of this protection. So I'm all for using these sacramentals.
Yeah.
And I would encourage it.
Yeah, and I want to say this. This is one of the things that separates Catholicism from some of the denominations that have arisen up from schism, really. And it also separates us from a lot of the heretical or non-Christian religions as well. And that God does not reject the universe that he's created. God does not reject matter, but God uses matter as a means to draw us near to him. This is why all of the sacraments include matter. There's visible signs, the absolution, for example, the Eucharist uses bread and wine, which becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism uses water. Every time we dip our finger into the holy water font and make that sign of the cross, it is a renewal. If we're intentional, it's a renewal of our baptismal vows. Your suggestion in the first part of the program that for many watched yesterday, that washing of the hands that we're being called to do and using that time to say Hail Mary, in a certain way, sacramentalizes that, not in the way of a blessing, but it sacramentalizes that. So, we're called to be very intentional people about the gift. God reaches us. He gives us the senses to be the means by which he inserts himself, if we are willing, into our lives, right? They're a means to draw us near to him. So they're not to be rejected. And that's one of the hallmarks of our Catholic faith, one of the beautiful realities of our Catholic faith.
Yeah, so true. Matter matters. That's a doctrinal statement. Matter matters.
It is indeed. And there is the metaphysical reality of our bodies, and we could go on and on about that for hours. I do have a question. I'm not going to put Anne on the air because we're down to 2 minutes here, but I am going to read her question, and I'm wondering if this is my Anne in New Jersey. My guess is that it might well be. But she wants to know how to help her son come back to the faith right now. She says that he is starting to pray. What role should she play in perhaps taking that wee bit of affirmation that he's giving and play it forward?
Mm. By the way, do you know how old he might be?
If this is the lovely lady that I'm thinking of, he's a young adult.
Okay. Well, the fact that he's praying right now is an incredible blessing. That really gives you something to work with. What that tells me is he's in motion.
Yes.
He's moving. Now the direction. I mean, it's getting somebody in motion is the hard thing.
Yes.
It's like going from zero to one. All right. Now you have to just go from one to two. It's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So if he likes reading, you want to try to find an appropriate book for him.
Right.
Now, a lot of people don't read. So then another way of going about it is to, Anne, you know your son, is there an act of service that he might want to participate in? I know of a fellow who's a permanent deacon in the Catholic Church right now, who was a Protestant, who was simply invited to help in a project of rehabbing a home.
Yes, and Al, we're going to have to leave it there because we've done the last 15 seconds. Your suggestions to Anne are very good. Friends, let us
use
this.
Wish you the best,
Anne. Yes, let's use this time wisely. May God bless you. Bye-bye now.